Good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here today, especially those of you who are our guests. If you're joining us by television or by the web, we welcome you and we're glad that you're here. We hope you'll take time sometime to come and worship with us personally. We'd love to have you here with us on the Hill. It's good to see all of you. I want to ask you to take God's Word, if you will, and open it up to the book of Jonah if you're not already there. If you're not quite sure where that is, if you'll go to the last book in the Old Testament, should be easy enough to find Malachi, and just go back seven books, you'll find Jonah. That's where it was last week, and it's still there today. So good to have you here with us. We're in this series that we started at Easter, and it's really a takeoff from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And really, the whole idea around Easter is about change. And that is so important because I don't think there's any of us who wouldn't say, I could be better than what I am. Maybe I'm not what I used to be, but I could be better than what I am. And that's the whole idea behind Easter, is about really changing. It's easy enough to change something on the outside, have reconstructive surgery, liposuction, all that kind of thing, nose job, whatever. You can do that. But all they'll do is just make you a nice-looking jerk or, you know, just somebody who's still a pill to live with, because it doesn't do anything about the inside. So what we're going to talk about in this whole series is about how do I come to know the power of God in my life? Because Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1, which was our text for Easter, in verses 19 and 20. And he talks about the power to change, and it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. There's nothing more powerful than bringing the dead back to life. Would you agree with that? I mean, there's just nothing else that compares to that. That's absolutely phenomenal. And so the Bible says that the same power that brought Jesus back, that resurrected that body and brought it back to its life and everything about it, God says that same power is available to us today. And that's a fascinating statement. And what we learn is that it all comes about by us entering into a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And it goes beyond me just knowing, just like I know George Washington was the first president of the United States, I can know that Jesus Christ really lived, Jesus of Nazareth, but that doesn't mean that I know him. That doesn't mean that I have a relationship with him, just like I know that George Washington was the first president, but he wouldn't know me if he met me on the street, and I wouldn't know him other than from the pictures. And so the reality is, it's all about, if I want the real change, I've got to get into an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's going to come about, it always happens this way. God comes to us, and he calls us to do something. And this is usually where it breaks down in many people's lives, because so many people, until they get miserable enough, are not willing to do what God calls them to do. And I never come into a genuine relationship with the Lord until I answer his call to come and surrender to him, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It isn't just that he's the Savior of the world, he is the Lord. And salvation comes with me surrendering my life to him. That's where real change takes place, because he's going to call us to that. He's going to call us to believe on him, that he's our only way to heaven. But it's not just about fire insurance. It's about changing us. And the change comes when I bow my knee and I admit that you are Savior and you are Lord, and I commit my life to you. I don't even know everything that that means, but I want to follow you. And it scares the bejeebers out of me, because I'm surrendering control of my life. And I want you to know, that's where change comes. That's when it happens. Because God says that Jesus came into the world to make our life miserable. Is that what the Bible says? No. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, trust me on this. You know, if you surrender to me, I'm not going to say, now I got you. You're going to Bangladesh. And you're going to live on $25 a week. And you're going to die penniless. That, you know, people are so afraid. That's what the Lord's going to do. I said, I want your life to be good. And whatever plan it is that I have for you is the plan that's going to bring about life for you. And Jonah, who's our example, has such a life-changing event that God initiated. God did it. He'd already called him to be a prophet, and Jonah had surrendered to that. But what Jonah teaches us is that there are a series of calls. Because each time that God says, I want you to do something, it's because God is getting ready to bring about change. He's getting ready to conform us to look more like the Lord. And so you're going to be answering the call all through your life. And so am I. And if I want the change to stop, I say no. And when I say no, then I find out how determined God is. I find out how strong His love is for me. Because God has said, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate, right? To become conformed to the image of His Son. If God's goal is to make me and you look like Jesus, just how much changing do you think needs to take place? A lot. I'll answer it for you, right? Some of you look at me like, I'm scared to answer. And so God is out to change us. And Jonah had answered that call. But then God calls him again to do something that he would have never done on his own. And that makes sense, because I've said this little mantra to you through the thing. Let me say it again. I had somebody email me and they said, would you say that little thing that you said again? I need that. That was really good. What was that? And the thing was, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always be where we've always been. And so if I want to change, if I'm going to be different, here's the insight. If you've got your life point outlines, look at your insight. If you want a different life, you have to do different things. And God is going to initiate that. God is going to initiate changing you. And he called on Jonah to do something Jonah would never do. And Jonah said no, and he ran away from God, literally. He went the opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. And he got on a boat, and he sailed away to get away from the Lord. And then take us to the second chapter, where there's this storm that comes. Jonah's on the boat, he's going away, and this storm comes. It had all the potential to absolutely sink the boat. Now, what is the message in that? Because God is speaking to us so much in the book of Jonah. And what God is simply saying is, understand this, when you run away from me as your father, it's not going to end well. Something's going to happen. And here's the insight in your outline. Running from God always leads to a storm of misery, a storm of loss, and a storm of ruin. And it all depends on how long I stubbornly refuse to do what he wants me to do. Now, you would think that the next event that happened in Jonah's life there in chapter 2, being tossed overboard into a raging sea and swallowed by a big fish, you know, perhaps a whale, but it was a fish that God had prepared, because he didn't chomp down on Jonah, he just swallowed him whole. Because when God sent that fish, it was actually to save Jonah. It saved him from drowning. And it was God's way of breaking Jonah's stubborn will. And so that fish was actually a gift from the Lord. And that has huge implications for me and for you. And here's what that means. If you are breathing this morning, and I take it that most of you are, you're vertical or sitting upright in your chair and, you know, you look like you're breathing. If you're breathing this morning and you said no to God, what God is saying is you have a second chance with him. That's the message here in the book of Jonah. You can still live the life, and I want you to listen to me, you can still live the life that you were made for. You can become the person that God created you to be. And maybe you think, no, that won't happen to me. You don't understand how long I've been running from God. I've said no to him. There's something in my life I have never said yes to. And I want you to understand, God is saying, you can have a second chance because God gives second chances. Can you say amen to that? Isn't that good news? God is a God of a second chance. And Jonah is the book about how God treats his kids whenever we sin against him and we come back to him. And it's kind of like Jonah's the Old Testament version, I think, of the story of the prodigal son that's in Luke 15, verse 11. about the boy who ran away, and then he comes back and he's broken down and everything. And I want you to look at the God truth in your outline. Here's the God truth about the prodigal and about Jonah. When the prodigal son came home, it wasn't to a beating, it was to a banquet. Can you put your eyes around, your mind around that? God's desire was not to beat him up. God's desire was to hug him. And while he was a long way off, the scripture says, his dad ran to him. Do you know what that means? That means if you know that this morning you have been away from the Father, you've been away from the God who is seeking to come into your life, that God says, no matter how far you've run, no matter what you've done in your life, the moment that you stop and you say, God, I feel like I am so far away from you. I have disobeyed you on so many levels. I have done some horrible things, and you're just broken before him. The moment you repent and you turn around, God's going to be right here. God's going to be right there. Why? Because he's going to come to you. You're not going to have to go and say, well, where can I find God? God is going to be right there. That's the story of Jonah. That's what God is saying. That's the story of the prodigal son. And that's God's hope for you and me. Now, I want us to look at the book of Jonah. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. When Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hand. Man, we're talking about revival. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And the thing I want you to notice this morning, we're talking about the God of the second chance. I want you to notice number one in your life point outline, Jonah's second chance. This is what God is teaching us about our relationship with him. God gave Jonah a second chance. Look back at verse 1 again. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a what? A second time. Now, in that big fish there in chapter 2, Jonah thought, I'm done. I mean, my life is over. I am useless to God. God can't use me. And that is so often what happens in people's lives when they sin against God, when they're in rebellion against him. They think, my life is over. God can no longer use me. This is why God has given us the book of Jonah. And I want you to hear this, that when we disobey him, that doesn't mean our life with God is totally ruined and there is no hope. That is the message here. God is wanting to give us hope. Is that not good news? Can you say amen to that? God wants to give us good news. Jonah was going to learn that the God who is God is a God of wrath against sin. He is a God who will not let go. And he is a God of second chances. And that's the reason why God put the book of Jonah in the Bible. God wanted us to know, I'm the same God today. I did this in the life of Jonah, and I will do it in your life. Look at verse 2. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. Now, what I want you to notice about this is this. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, go to verse 2, it talks about that great city of Nineveh. That time when he talked about greatness, that had to do with her sin. She was a great city of sin and wickedness. When you come here to chapter 3 and he talks about that great city, he's talking about how big it is. there's this huge city. So what is God saying to you and me? God is simply saying, listen, watch this. Whatever it is God has called you to do, whatever it is that God is saying, this is what I want you to do. And if you say yes to me, then my power will be on your life that you can continue changing and become more and more the man and the woman that you know you need to be and that I want you to be. You'll be more like Jesus. And God is teaching us this in the book of Jonah because God wants us to understand that what God is calling you to is going to break, number one, it's going to break the power of sin. And number two, it's a very important thing. Whatever it is that God is calling you to, it is going to be powerful against sin in this world in some form or fashion when you say yes. And God is saying, what I'm calling you to is important. It is important. This was an important city. It was a wicked city. What God is calling us to is going to be important against fighting sin, and it is an important thing in this world. Now, if you go back again to chapter 1 and verse 2, he's giving Jonah the same directive. It's virtually the same words. So here's what I want you to see. Look at the note in your outline. Jonah gets a second chance to follow the same plans. God invites me to a better life. And he said, I want to invite you to a better life. And the pathway to a better life, John, is I'm going to call you to do something that you would never do on your own. But it's what I want you to do. And if you don't obey me, because I'm wanting to bring change in your life. If you don't obey me, something's not going to get done that I want done. Because there's a work I have for you to do. And if you say no to me, then I want you to know, because I love you and because I have a plan on this earth, there is a storm ahead in your life. There's a storm coming. That's what I taught you in the book of Jonah. And I want you to repent. I want you to turn. And no matter how long you've been in stubbornness, no matter how long you've been in that storm, when you repent, I will give you a second chance. But he said, I want you to understand this. The call remains unchanged. The call doesn't change. Whatever it is that maybe you said no to years ago, God says it hasn't changed. It's still the same call. And here's the insight in your outline. We are invited to join God's plan, but God will never join ours. It doesn't matter if you said no to him for years on end. God's call is still the same. And when I look at what happened in Jonah's life, I know it was a fresh start. It was a clean slate. But here's the thing. It was a chance to relive the life that he had messed up. He didn't answer God's call. And after everything that he went through, it was a chance to relive the life he messed up, to go back and live the life that he turned his back on. And I want you to apply this to your life. That's what God wants you to do. That maybe there's been something in your life, maybe it was vocationally, that there is something you're doing that God is saying, this is not what I want you to do. It's been okay up to this point, but now I'm making my will known to you. There's something else I want you to do in your life. Or maybe he's simply saying, I want you to bring me on into your job, and you haven't been doing that. So maybe it's a vocational thing. Maybe it's a moral thing that God is saying, I've told you not to live this way. And you've been in rebellion against me. And I brought a storm in your life. And you're saying, God, I want your blessing on my life. And he says, I want you to understand the call to the moral standard I put in your life is still there. And I want you to go back and do what I told you to do. Maybe it's something relational. That you need to make something right with somebody. And you just simply said no in times past. Whatever it was, vocational, moral, or relational, it doesn't change. You probably have thought, well, there's just no way that I can go back. I can't go back and do what God called me 2 years ago because everything has changed. Here's what I want you to know. Look at the truth in your outline. The call of God is permanent. You say, but you don't understand the changes coming out. No, listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is this. When we say yes to him,
I may not be able to go back and do exactly the same thing. The opportunity that was back there may be gone. I maybe can't go through that particular door, but because we reap what we sow. That specific door may be closed forever, but the call is still there. And when I say yes to him, then God will lead me in an act of obedience in another way, but it's going to be the same call that we have always had. The call doesn't end because we disobey. You can ignore and you can rebel and you can walk away, but the call remains. And so whatever God calls you to do is the plan that he had for you and me before time began. If I had not said yes to the Lord about coming here to Harmony Hill, if I had said no to him, the church would have called another pastor. And even after I repented and said, God, I was wrong. I should not have done that. I should have said yes to Harmony Hill. But I didn't, I was afraid. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to start my life there. But now they've got another pastor. I can't come back to here. But God is simply saying, my call on you is still the same. You are called to minister before me. You are called to shepherd a church. And when I surrender to him, when I say yes to him, the call is still the same. Does that make sense? It hasn't changed. And so what God says, that door is closed. Why? Because there's a consequence. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God said, you don't get by with it. It's going to cost you. But God says, I will open up another door. And it may not be the same thing. And I'll tell you another thing. I can lose blessings. The blessings that God has done here, if I had said no, God would have been good to me, but I might never have experienced everything I would have experienced here. And it's just simply God's way of teaching me that there is always a cost whenever I say no to him. Whatever God is calling you to, that's his plan for you to say yes. And so number two is this, second chance for a wicked city. And when you answer God's call on your life, God's going to show up and he's going to do in you what only God can do in you and through you. Nineveh was the biggest, baddest city on the planet. And Jonah was called by God. He said, I want you to go and I want you to tell those wicked people to get right with me. Now just think about it from Jonah's perspective. I think because this city was horrible. And Jonah probably thought, okay, this could go one of two ways. Either number one, they're going to kill me on day one when I go in, or they're going to laugh me out of town. They're just gonna make fun of me. And either one of those didn't sound really good. You have to understand, this was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. It was the ruling, dominating people of Jonah's day. This nation of people had sustained every attack against it, and there was no army on the earth at that time that could stand up against them. And that had been true for over 120 years at the time that Jonah is called to the Lord, to the Lord's service. So for 120 years, these people were invincible. They were fearless. People were absolutely scared to death of these people. They dominated the planet at that time. And Jonah's message was to walk into this empire of might and strength. Some of the most cruel people on the planet, wicked, sinful, ungodly. And he was to walk in and say, 40 days, and unless you repent, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now put yourself in his shoes. This is not going to end well, right? I mean, that's the first thing. But don't miss this. This sermon, I don't know if this is the only thing he preached. There's only 8 words. Some of you say, could you do that, John? An 8-word sermon. You know, don't sit down. You won't be here long, right? So there's 8 words and bam, I mean, everybody from the lowest all the way up to the king, they repent and they're in sackcloth and ashes. Now, I think I know in part why. Now, there's 2 things working here. Number one is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God was on them like white on rice, and the Lord was all over that. But can you imagine these people all of a sudden looking up one day and into the city comes Jonah? 3 days and three nights in the gastric juices of a fish. He has no hair. His skin is white and blotched. He looked like something from The Walking Dead. And he comes into the city looking horrible. And his message is, in 8 days, unless you repent, you're going to be overthrown. And here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. Jonah showed them what disobeying a holy God can do for you. And I want you to know, that's the power of your witness and your testimony. God doesn't want you to do anything. We're not to do anything except tell our story of how we came to the Lord and how God saved us and made us his people. None was more wicked or cruel than the Assyrians. And yet they got a second chance. And what I want you to know is Lufkin is full of people this morning, right now. And one of the reasons that they're not here, one of the reasons they don't come to a church anywhere in town is because they don't think that they have any chance with God because of everything that they've done. Because their lives have been so wicked that there is no hope that God, they feel like they've taken God's second, third, and fourth chance and there is nothing left for them. And what Nineveh's chance here to change was because of the obedience of Jonah. And what is Jonah's testimony? Look at the insight in your outline. Here's the truth. If you're breathing, there's a second chance for you with God, and only God can give you the power of change. And so what God is saying is, this morning, his call is for us to say yes to him. And maybe that call for you is a call to surrender to maybe something moral in your life. Maybe it's a call to surrender to a call that's about relationships with somebody or a vocational calling. But what God is saying is that's what's going to bring his power into your life. Don't make a little thing of that. It's big to the Lord. So that brings us to number three, and what's your response? There's two things you need to do. Number one, God wants us to face our failures. Face your failure. Look at, Proverbs 28:13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. He gets another chance. Now go back and look at verse 10 in chapter 3. When God saw what the Ninevites did, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, put that verse in your outline. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to circle two words. Would you circle the word confesses and forsakes? And then I want you to draw a line to the two words, another chance. And so here's what the Father is saying to me. If you want another chance at God's plan A for your life, then he says, what I ask of you is forsake your sins and your shortcomings. Forsake them and admit your failures to God. Refuse to blame anybody else. I'm not blaming anybody else. Well, it was extenuating circumstances. Don't blame anybody else for the situation that you're in. You just say, God, it's my fault. I did it. I shouldn't have done it. I said no to you. There's no way for me to beg off on this. So God simply says, I want you to own it. Admit where you blew it and be honest to him. And here's the truth in your outline. The only people forgiven and given a second chance are those who admit they need it. All right? I want to share something with you. Y'all know me. I have, through the years, one of the things I try to do is always shoot straight and be honest with you. I just want to say something to you because you're so faithful to come and to hear and to sit under me. Back at Easter, I was so looking forward to Easter Sunday and seeing what God was going to do. I had the message that I knew God wanted me to bring. And Easter was a great day. One of the things I wrestled with was one of the examples that I gave on Easter Sunday. And it was a story about the footprints in the sand. Do you remember that? Remember that? Shake your head if you do. All right? I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize because I wrestled. And I thought, this is such a great example that there comes a time if we don't do our part, God brings a storm into our life. And of course, that was when it said that Jesus said, I dropped you in the sand. And I just want to say this. I used a term that's in the poem that I just don't use. And for me, it's crudeness. And it has weighed on me. And so I just need in all of you to unload that. Are y'all tracking with me? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? You with me? Okay. It's a great example, but it's just bothered me. And I always want you to know that I hold this stand as sacred. And I want to share God's truth with you. But I am a man who makes mistakes. And when I do and God shows it to me, I want to own it to you. I just want his power on this. And so I ask your forgiveness. I'm sorry. I did not mean to demean the pulpit in using that example. And by his grace, I will learn and I will do better. Even after 43 years, I'm still learning. And so the last thing I want to share with you is adopt God's plan A for your life. Just say yes to whatever it is. Maybe, number one, it's a moral thing. Maybe God has called you to faithfulness in marriage, and you haven't been. Maybe he's called you to sexual purity, and you know you are not sexually pure. Maybe you're watching things on the internet you shouldn't. Maybe you're reading books that you shouldn't, and you're not sexually pure. Because the Lord says if you're thinking impure thoughts about somebody else who's not your husband or your wife, that's committing sin before him. Maybe he called you to truthfulness. You know he did, and you're not being truthful. Well, God says, I don't want that to be a burned bridge where you think you can't come back to me, that you're unrecoverable. Because God says, I want you to return to faithfulness in marriage. Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it, forgive me. If you're divorced, but neither of you has remarried, then get back to reconciling that relationship. Work on that. Why? Because God calls you to faithfulness in marriage. That hasn't left. We're supposed to be faithful in our marriage. If you're young or you're a young adult and you've lost your virginity, you've lost your purity, that still matters to God. So what does it mean? You answer his call that from this day forward, I'm going to be morally pure. I'm going to be physically pure before the Lord. If you're cutting corners at work or playing with the books to move ahead, unless you want a huge storm in your future, you need to get it right now. Just get right with him. Because that's important to the Lord. And then B is vocational. And I've already shared this with you. That maybe you're in sales or you're in computers or your business, but you know that God has maybe called you to something else. That's not going to change. God calls you to do that so that you, because he's got something he wants to do in that calling for you. That's what he made you for. And so here's what I want you to do. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Well, look at the last one that I've got for you there at the end is the invitation. Your life won't move forward till you answer God's call because a plan B life doesn't go any place with eternal significance. You want to be living a plan A. What is it that God has called you to do? Whatever it is, That doesn't change. It stays the same. That's the message of Jonah. Would you bow your heads for just a minute? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor Stacy's going to come. We're going to give you an opportunity just to say yes to him. Maybe this morning, you have been running from him. And maybe you're in the midst of a storm. And you want to come out of that storm. That's a wise move. That you do whatever this morning God calls you to, no matter how insignificant it seems, that you do it. You say yes to him. And I want to invite you to come. The altar's here. The pastors, they're here in the service, will be here at the front. If you need somebody to talk to, or you just want to come to the altar, this is a morning to simply say, Lord, I want to be blessed as I come in and go out. I want to get out of this storm that I'm in, and I'm believing that this storm is because I'm living a Jonah life. And there is a possibility of a second chance. I can live the way I'm supposed to live. The blessings of God can fall on me, and this morning I'm going to say yes. So Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for what it has taught us. God, thank you that there is always hope with you. If we're breathing, there is a hope of a second chance to start again. And so, God, I pray this morning that you'll have your way with all of us and that the answer today is yes. May you hear yes from all of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.